And we're going to pick up in verse 24 and go through the end of the chapter. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And then he lists a series of sins here, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, I want you to note that list of sinners there that begins there toward the end of the chapter, you find a lot of that in the book of Ephesians repeated. And so we're going to be speaking on the subject of homosexuality this morning, as you might guess, due to the fact that the Supreme Court made that ungodly decision that tells states that they have to accept same-sex marriages in every state in the union. So basically that decision has sodomized the entire country of the United States. So I want to speak on that because so many people today had this attitude that, well, I'm not gay, but I have gay friends, and if they want to be gay, that's all right with me. I don't have any problem with it. Well, friends, we need to be very sorrowful for these that are living in such sin, and we need to teach and preach the truth to them that that is a sin and that God has condemned that sin, and if they don't repent of that sin, they're going to be destroyed in the fires of hell someday. And I've got kinfolks that I love very much that I don't want to see them go to hell because of living such a life as that on earth. And yet that's where they're headed. And if you read the paper this morning, there's a man in there that said God made him gay. That he can't help being gay because God made him gay. And he's got to live with it. He's got to accept it. He said, now I come to the realization that God loves me as a gay person. Well, God loves gay people to the extent that he loves all sinners and that he desires for them to confess their sins and to repent of those sins and to accept Jesus Christ as Savior and be forgiven of that sin. So I'm going to speak just a few minutes on this subject because I believe that it is really another step of God abandoning America. As I said in Sunday school this morning, the Bible speaks of a great falling away, and it's happening all over the world today. Ireland went, the whole nation voted to become a nation that honors gay marriages as well. Now the United States, it's widespread in Europe, and other nations are going to go completely that way, where gay marriages have to be accepted and recognized. And so there's a great falling away from God, and I don't see any sign of a national revival in America on the way. I do see signs of some pastors and some conservative churches that have had enough, and they're speaking out despite what we are commanded to accept. We're speaking out against it, and that's good. It needs to be spoken out against, and so it is. Bear with me just a few minutes this morning. It's a biblical fact that God has and will abandon a nation that has forsaken him. America has long been on a path of forsaking God. They have removed prayer from schoolrooms and Bible reading from schoolrooms and public arenas. There's always the war against Christmas each year where the nativity scenes and other Christian displays are not acceptable in public arenas. Ten Commandments are being removed and trying to be removed from public places like courthouses and state houses and the Capitol buildings and so forth. The Supreme Court now making abortion legal throughout the nation back in the 70s. How many millions of unborn babies have been killed by those who performed these abortions since the 70s until today? And every one of those little babies that was aborted was a human being. And I don't care if you agree with this or not. I'm telling you, anytime you take the life of a human being, you're guilty of murder. Now, you say, well, there's got to be exceptions. Occasionally, I believe there could be an exception. But for just the sake of a woman not wanting to have a baby after she gets pregnant and she takes the abortion route, that is a sin against Almighty God, and the person that performs it is guilty of killing a human being. And so it is. Since the 70s, millions of human beings, unborn, have been slaughtered at the hands of the abortionist, and God certainly cannot be proud of that and approve of that in these United States of America. This week, the Supreme Court took the nation past the point of no return, as far as I'm concerned, with its vote to make it a law that all states have to recognize and accept gay marriages. The majority of the high court judges who voted to legalize same-sex marriages in all states profess themselves to be wise, men of great knowledge, men well-versed in the law. And they consider themselves to be wise, but the Bible says they become fools. You can read that in Romans chapter 1, where these people that fall away from God think that they're wise, but the Bible says they become fools. President Obama applauded their decision, and thus believing as he does and supporting this decision to accept gay marriages in all states, certainly he thinks he's wise, but he has displayed for all to see that he's a fool. Now, I know that you're supposed to support your president. I support the presidency. I support the office. I have no respect for the man that now holds that office. And when you come to vote for a new president, you ought to check his credentials. What does he stand for? I don't care what party he belongs to. We're not voting for parties in this country anymore. We shouldn't be. But there are some who would vote for the Antichrist if he was a Democrat. But I'm going to tell you right now that we shouldn't be voting along party lines. We ought to be looking at the records of each and every candidate and vote for the one that has biblical principles and stands for the oracles of God. John MacArthur said in his commentary on Romans, "The mind devoid of God's truth has no way to discriminate between truth and falsehood, between right and wrong." And he also said that they accept the unfounded foolishness of unregenerate men above the flawless truth of God's word. If we don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling us, we cannot comprehend truth. In fact, over here at the university at Texas Tech, they'll teach in those classrooms over there, in their philosophy classrooms and other classrooms, that there's no such thing as absolute truth. Truth is in the eyes of the beholder. What is truth to me may not be truth to you. What is wrong for me may not be wrong for you. But I want to tell you, God has it all in black and white. It's either right or wrong. It's either truth or false. And so the absolute truth can only be found in the Word of God. And I want to tell you right now, we need the Holy Spirit indwelling us in order to comprehend that truth. And these people that are passing these Antichrist laws and teaching these Antichrist lessons in the universities, they don't have the truth. They can't understand the truth. They don't know the difference between right and wrong because, well, they know what's right and they know what's wrong, but it's in the eyes of the beholder. Again, if it's right for me, it may be wrong for them. If it's wrong for them, it may be right for me, however it's said. It's in the eyes of the beholder, and that's a common belief in today's society. And then here's one more quote from MacArthur. The greatest fool in all the world is the person who exchanges God's wisdom of truth and light for man's wisdom of deceit and darkness. What motivates highly intelligent men and women to openly rebel against the truth of God's word? Their minds are controlled by Satan. If their minds are not being controlled and influenced by the Holy Spirit, their minds then are being controlled by Satan. You can only have one of two masters. You either serve Jesus Christ or you serve Satan. What are the two? Lost humanity is not good, but evil, according to the Bible. If you went over to Romans chapter 3, verse 10, 12, and 23, you would find that there's none that seeketh after God. No, not one. There's none good. No, not one. That all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Humanity in its lost condition is depraved. It's in a state of devolution and not evolution. And so it is that lost humanity is a slave to sin. Romans 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. All of these things we read about in the scripture this morning. All of the people that want to follow that type of lifestyle and be guilty of those things mentioned today. If they do not come to Jesus Christ for salvation, their only resort for them is death. The wages of sin is death. There's no escaping it unless you come to Jesus and be saved. But that verse has a wonderful solution to the problem. Romans 6:23 not only says the wages of the sin is death, but thank God for that little conjunction there or whatever, that little three-letter word, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God has a gift of salvation to remedy the sin condition. But when lost people refuse consistently to accept his offer, God has and he will abandon the rebellious sinners. And the nation that consistently sins against God will be abandoned by God, rejected by God. Kenny was telling us something he has on his smartphone back there that they're predicting what, Kenny, that the economy of this country is going to crash in a couple of weeks. Well, I don't know if that's true or not, but I will tell you this, that many and most economists today are predicting that it very well could crash by the end of the year. And many are talking about a very near future. Well, look at it. You can't consistently spend more than you take in and sustain your government in a healthy manner. And when you got an $18 trillion plus dollar debt and you're not bringing in enough to even hardly pay the interest on the debt, you're going to collapse sooner or later. And they're predicting a depression that's going to be greater than the 30s. Now, you young people don't know what it is to go through that sort of thing. But back then, food was rationed, certain foods. Sugar was rationed. Gasoline was rationed. Different things were rationed. You had to have stamps to buy certain things. People raised gardens, and that's what they lived out of. Maybe tennis shoes could be bought for a dime, but who had a dime? And even by the time I came along in the early 40s, when I got up old enough to go to the movies, I could get a movie ticket for a dime and a popcorn for a dime and a Coke for a dime. The problem was Mama didn't have 30 cents. She'd give me 20 cents. And I either had to make a choice between the Coke or the popcorn. I knew if I got the popcorn, which smelled so good, and I would eat that popcorn, then I'd want a Coke. But I didn't have the money to buy the Coke. If I got the Coke, oh, I sure do want some of that popcorn. But I solved the problem. A kid in my class, Daddy, managed the theater. I went to the shows with him. We got in free, and I had 20 cents for Coke and popcorn. But at any rate, you kids don't understand that. I mean, there's not going to be any Xboxes. There's not going to be any of these $50, $75 games that you play all the time. That's out. When this economy collapses, it's gone. And it'll be a long time ever coming back if it ever does. And the Bible says that sooner or later we're going into a world rationing system where food will be rationed around the world. And it's coming, folks. It's coming because it's in the Bible that's predicting it. You want to go down and buy a $100 pair of tennis shoes that lights up when you walk? Forget that. You're going to be lucky to have shoes. When I was a kid, we wore shoes to go to school in. We got new shoes each year because our foot grew. We had shoes to go to school in, but we went barefooted nearly all summer. My cousin in California, who I haven't seen in probably 40 years plus, he said, "Do you remember those sugar butter sandwiches we used to eat? And those hot summer days?" And I said, "I remember two skinny kids going shirtless, barefooted, in Oklahoma, and yes, we enjoyed those butter sugar sandwiches. That was good. And you could get a big old RC Cola. If you had a nickel, you could go to the store and get a big old RC Cola. Reason we got RC Colas, they were bigger than Coca-Colas. They were bigger than Grapettes. Nobody wanted Grapette because the bottle was too small. Spend your nickel wisely. These were days that we ate a lot of vegetables during the summertime when the gardens were coming in. Water gravy, beans and cornbread, fried potatoes, these sort of things. My late father-in-law said when I was a kid, he said we'd have beans and potatoes one day and potatoes and beans the next day. He said those were days that we were happy, though. Those were days that we didn't have television. Matter of fact, my brother, who was single at the time and was working, bought the first television on our block in Chickasha, Oklahoma. It was an old Kent television, black and white. Now, I can still remember old Kate Starr coming out on the Texaco Theater thing saying, what was that song she sang? Something about America, but big old girl. It's singing that beautiful song. It was I don't remember what it was, but it was pretty. And then you had all of those old radio shows started appearing on TV. The Green Hornet. Lone Ranger. All these different programs that we all listened to. Red Skelton. I remember when I was a kid, we'd go down on Sunday evenings to a friend's house, and we'd all sit around the radio and listen to the Red Skelton Show. By the way, I had the privilege of interviewing the guy that played the Lone Ranger on the radio when I was working with the network. Very interesting fellow, and he said, we didn't have sound effect records back in those days, and he said you'd have a guy over there on the other side shaking something tin to make it sound like thunder. He said if you was riding a horse and you were trying to have a conversation with Tonto, and he said, you started going like this, Tonto, I think they're right around the bend here to make your voice shake, you know. Tonto say, yeah, Kimosabe, let's go. And these were days when people had imagination, and you listened to those old shows, and you got excited about it. Maybe they're coming again, kids. Maybe there's not going to be a TV in every room. When these play out, you won't have the money to buy another one if this economy crashes. I don't want to see them come either. But we all know you can't sustain a government when you're spending way more money than what you're bringing in. You know what happened to Germany after World War I? They had an inflation set in that money got so useless because they were just printing bunches of money, and it got so useless it couldn't do anything. And fact of the matter is, there's a story that went about that said a guy took a wheelbarrow of money to a store and went in to get something at the store, and somebody stole the wheelbarrow and left the money on the sidewalk. The wheelbarrow was more valuable than the money. And this may happen again. Now, I'm not trying to scare you young kids, but I'm going to tell you right now that you may learn some hard lessons in the days to come. Because God will not bless the nation that turns away from Him. And I think the one thing today that would hurt America more than anything else is to take this prosperity away from us. The things, the material things that everybody just feels like they've got to have. They just got to have it. Well, we'll find out we can live without a lot of things. So, God does abandon individual sinners at times. God does abandon nations at times. God gave up lost humanity in Noah's day. He gave up Sodom and Gomorrah in Lot's day. When Israel was guilty of forsaking God, God gave them up to follow their own ways and devices. Later, if they repented, they came back and God was there for them again. What does God do about those that persistently refuse to repent of the sin of homosexuality? Our scripture here says He gives them over to their sin if they won't repent. God gives up men who burn in their desires for other men. Same with women lusting for other women. God's word says they are guilty of vile affection. The word says they do not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gives them over to a reprobate mind, a mind that just doesn't want to contain God whatsoever. It's completely evil. A depraved mind, to do those things which are not proper. And when God gives a person up or a nation up to a reprobate mind and allows them to pursue their own wicked ways, He puts a death sentence upon them and they will be destroyed in the end. God lists the sin of homosexuality along with a long list of other sins which we read about. He says that those which practice such things are worthy of death. And also to those who give approval to their actions. Now, I believe that sentence there, and I want you to look at that last verse. I got to go back to Romans 1 here. It says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do that. I believe there's a twofold meaning in that statement. I believe it means that those who practice such sins and encourage others to become involved in such depraved activities are worthy of death. And others who may not practice that type of sinful living, such as homosexuality, but gives approval to those who do, such as the vote of the Supreme Court, are also worthy of death. Those who approve it and those who practice it. Those who encourage it, those who practice it are under the same condemnation. What's the bottom line? The bottom line is, again, the wages of sin is death. Those who refuse to repent will suffer not only a physical death, but a spiritual death as well. Nations that forsake God will suffer severe judgment from God. And I ask you this morning, is there a remedy? When a nation returns to God, God returns to the nation. There will be forgiveness. His mercy and grace would be bestowed. And again, the nation could serve God in the manner that God would be pleased. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you don't accept that gift, then you have no other alternative but to die and go to hell someday. It's just black and white, plain and simple. Would you stand?